So some interesting people there.
Always. You just got back. You just got back yesterday. Come back.
Okay. So we're now at a very important point of the Khuzari, having discussed the evolution of Judaism and the miracles in Mitzrayim that are the source of faith. These are not one-time events, but events that have long-lasting historical imprint. They're framed within historical story. Everyone became a Navi at Har Sinai. It wasn't just Moshe. Moshe's Nevuah was ascertained. So now there's a really big question in general about Jewish history, and it's even more pointed in the Khuzari. Remember, in the Khuzari, you can't prove God philosophically. You can't inquire. It has to be revelation, and Hashem has to appear to you and reveal truths to you. We're the Am HaNivchar that have the unique capacity to receive Hashem's truths and to operate beyond natural limitation. We're supernatural in the way we behave. So the big question is the ego. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us and we rebelled so quickly afterwards, so maybe that revelation is terminated because Hashem taught us certain things, certain truths, and we failed. If you could prove philosophically, then just press the reset button. So the people after the ego can just press the reset button. But if it's a process of revelation, once the revelation has been betrayed, and you're no longer listening to that revelation, you need a new revelation. There was no new revelation in Har Sinai. So are the Jewish people still Am HaNivchar, second Luchos, but Hashem didn't appear to them again, he just repeated the first time. So here the Khuzari says a couple, or the Chacham, the Yehuda Levi, answers in a very interesting fashion. First of all, he has a line, which is not the real answer, it's an introductory answer, but it's a fascinating answer. He says that you can prove how great people are by their sins. Sometimes people who have real potential and real passion and real imagination and their sins are greater. Someone is greater, then because they have ambition in life, they're not satisfied with the current state, they're not satisfied with complacency, they're always churning, they're always ambitious, and that typically reflects itself, hopefully, in religious ambition, but sometimes it can also create restlessness that lead people, and we have examples such as David HaMelech. So, first of all, he says, you should know, all this conversation about the Am HaNivchar and the Am Segula, if anything, the Egel proves, how could you sin so quickly and so dramatically and so insolently against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Second of all, he says, remember, this goes back to what we said before. These are two introductory points. Am Segula doesn't mean behavior. Am Segula means potential. So the fact that they behave that way doesn't mean they abdicated their status of Am Segula. Am Segula is a potential. That potential was passed on genetically from one generation to another. In some generations, it didn't express itself. Terach had the Am Segula potential because Avram had to inherit it from Terach. Even though Avram knew Aver, his great-grandfather, and he met Noach, but he still had to receive it from Terach. So Terach has the Am Segula potential even without expressing it. So just because Am Yisrael dysfunctioned at the Egel doesn't mean they abdicated the Am Segula potential. It's not how great a tzaddik you are, it's do you have, again, that gene, that capacity that can only be acquired genetically. The third disclaimer before he gives his real answer, number one is, again, you see how great they were by the magnitude of their sin. Number two, it doesn't cancel their potential. It may just mean that at that moment the behavior wasn't appropriate. Number three, and this is something we don't often consider, it was 3,000 people out of 600,000. So it was half of a percent. It wasn't the entire machina. Now he's going to describe how they fell into this failure, but we think of the Egel as a national. In the case of the Meraglim, it's more of a nationwide, all-pervasive collapse in Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Chet Egel, you're talking about 3,000 people that seem to be foreigners, that seem to be foreign implants, so this shouldn't be seen as indicting who the Jewish people were. So these are three disclaimers that Rabbi Yehuda Levi offers before he explains his main thesis. His main thesis is that the Egel was not a crisis of faith, it was a crisis of behavior. The Jewish people were still on a religious high from Har Sinai. The Jewish people were still searching for Hashem. The Jewish people had physical representations of Hashem in the Amud Hanan and the Amud Ha'esh. They had something physical. They had been promised something physical by Moshe. Moshe was very clear to them he would return with Luchos HaBris. So there'd be some physical target for their growing belief in Hashem that you couldn't see, which is hard. All cultures of the day had physical elements through which they accessed Hashem. We live in a period in which we don't need physical elements because we've been able to abstract religion sufficiently not to require it. So we look back on this, but it's anachronistic. We live in a different period. The Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made a decision to destroy the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah because it was too rampant. And at that point, they saw a lion running out of the Beis HaMikdash because this need for something physical was cross-cultural. The Jews had it as well, and to a degree, Moshe had promised them that. They had promised them Luchas HaBris. Peter Levi says, you know, let me give you an example. Such a powerful example. If people saw us davening in shuls, they'd laugh at us. What, Hashem's in the shul? He's not in the forest? Hashem's in the Beis HaMikdash? He said, well, why do we need a physical collecting point? Well, we just daven wherever we want. Hashem's Makom HaShalallah. Hashem exists everywhere. So it's been accepted. And now he's even a little bit critical of Batei Knesset, which started in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Why do you need a Beis Knesset? So evidently, that's become accepted as a human need within a very, very abstract religion to gather into one location and feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence very deeply. And no one's equating a Beis Knesset with the Egel, but it's the same thing. This is not a crisis of faith. They are not rebelling against Hashem. They're not rebelling against Moshe. They're just saying, we need that physical transfer point, that physical anchor that Moshe promised. That's why they go to Aaron. If they're rebelling against Hashem, the last person you want to visit is Aaron. You want to appoint some other leader. You want to appoint some rebel or some heretic that will challenge Aaron. They're going to Aaron and say, we need the physical element. Aaron, from his standpoint, isn't interested in building the Egel. He wants to build the Egel and ferret out which people need it, which people don't, which people are Lishma. Not really building an Egel. This view of the Egel is completely in sync with Yehuda Levi's thesis in the Sefer. What's the thesis in the Sefer? The original dream of the king, which God tells him, your Kavana is appropriate, but your actions are inappropriate. Kavanas charitzuya avamasecha einam mekubalim. That in religion, it's not enough. This is against Rabbeinu Sadrigo. This is against the Rambam. The Rambam, religion perfects you. In Yehuda Levi, it's not just about your thoughts and your attitudes and how you see Hashem, but how you express it through ritual that can only be delivered from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Egel becomes almost parallel to this king's dream. Where the king was told, you're sincere. You believe in me. Your traits are improved. Your character is refined. But your behavior and the manifestation has to be legislated from Hashem. At the Egel, they learned this lesson. The Egel was a lesson that Kavana isn't sufficient, but has to be expressed in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. And that's why Yehuda Levi, ironically, takes the Egel as an opportunity to elaborate on Segula. How the school of passed that. It's a very, very strange redirect, as we would call it in a legal court, in which the witness is being redirected. Mm. So Yehuda Levi is doing a redirection. He says, it has an entire page on Am Segula. What do you mean? I just said they failed. He says, no, Am Segula is a potential. And Am Segula doesn't get canceled. And Am Segula gives us the potential to believe in Hashem. But we have to express that through the proper activity and behavior. And the Egel was not a crisis of faith, it was a crisis of behavior. Okay? So we're nearing the end of the first Ma'amar, which is what our goal was, to try to cover the first Ma'amar. We have maybe three or four Shiurim to conclude the first Ma'amar of five Ma'amar in Mikuzara. Okay?